to be a servant, to be of use, to be worthy of reliance or trust, to hold an office, to help persons. All of these are possible definitions of the word serve. Serving is a concept we both embrace and sometimes push away. We often find ourselves in situations where we want to serve, where we see something we can do and are happy to do it. And meanwhile, we sometimes resent serving, especially when we're the last one left alone in a kitchen with a pile of dirty dishes, or the one left turning off lights and locking up a building, whether that's the office, the church after a potluck dinner. Somebody will be that person today. We often find ourselves in situations where unexpected opportunities to serve just present themselves, and where it's easy to engage them, to hold the door for a stranger, to give someone who needs it a ride, to share a meal with someone who is hungry. Meanwhile, we sometimes resist serving, especially when we are told that we have to do it, or how we have to do it, or how much we have to do it. This is the usual tension around serving, at least for humans in our culture. And yet, serving isn't just about how we feel or whether we want to do it at that time. Because as Christians, our faith enters this conversation. And our faith reminds us time and time again that we are called to serve. That as people who claim to follow Jesus, serving is not just an option, but it is at the core of who we are. It is in our very DNA. In fact, today's text reminds us that the commitments we have about modeling our lives after Jesus are about distinguishing ourselves, not as separatists, not so that we can claim to be better than others in some holier-than-thou sort of way, but distinguishing ourselves to live fully as God has called us. The community to which the letter we know as 1 Peter was written was a community of Gentiles, resident aliens, and household slaves in Asia Minor. They were living in a time and a place where Christianity was under persecution and where making the choice to be Christian often resulted in their being ostracized. The distinctions that we're talking about here in 1 Peter aren't the same distinctions that we see in other places in the New Testament. This isn't a distinction between folks who are following the Jewish faith and folks who are following Christianity, but instead, this is a distinction about being called to live in the way of Jesus, distinct from the pagan culture around them. In 1 Peter, they are reminded that even though the community around them rejects them, they are part of God's community, and they are called to continue to live in God's ways. And we're reminded of this in this passage we read as it begins saying, "Be serious and discipline yourselves. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. Be hospitable to one another without complaining." And then beginning in verse 10, it goes on and says, "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? See, so often we read really past scripture without letting it sink in. But at the heart of this passage is the claim that our lives are to be lived on behalf of God, that we are ambassadors who live and speak and serve on God's behalf after the model of Jesus and as representatives of the kingdom. In fact, as someone pointed out in Bible study a couple weeks ago, verse 10 reminds us that what we have is for others. In our culture, we focus a lot on individual ownership, but the claim of our faith is that what we have is gifted in order for us to share with others. It's not ours with the choice to share what we consider to be the excess, but we are given the role of stewards, of caretakers, of those who are entrusted with spiritual gifts, with talents, with financial and material resources, with our very lives, and entrusted with all of this for the purpose of serving the community and sharing the love of God. In other words, our lives are not ours alone. Our gifts are not ours alone. If you are one who has the gift of empathy, of feeling deeply what others are going through, then that gift is given so that you can respond to the needs of others. If you are one who has the gift of music, it isn't given simply so you can play and be applauded and hopefully make the big bucks. But rather, that gift can be used to draw people to God. It can be used to teach another generation, to help people find words and feelings for their lived experience. If you are one who has the gift of hospitality, of welcoming others and helping them feel at home, this isn't given simply so that you can host the big family dinners at the holidays with people you already know and love. But it is a gift that can be shared in ways that help people come to know the depth of God's love and the wideness of God's mercy. And while each of us can relate to this conversation individually, we can think through what we think the gifts are we have or what others have pointed out in us, but it is also important to remember that these words were written to a community. It is important to remember that we are not to hear them as solitary individuals who happen to be in the same space, but rather as a community of people who are connected and called together. As Feme Perkins reminds us, many Christians have read these verses as though they only referred to individual conversion and virtues practiced by each person as an individual. However, the biblical vision focuses on the community, on the people of God, rather than isolated individuals. So passages like this remind Christians that faith requires community, that we are called to be active parts of faith communities, places where we gather for prayer and for support and for celebration. They also remind us that the local church is a place where members share particular gifts that God has given them. See, it's not just to keep the ministry of First Christian Church going that we ask you to share your gifts. This next week, many of you will receive a form in the mail that gives you a space to indicate ways you feel called to serve in the coming year. We don't just send that out because the staff doesn't have enough time to do everything. Rather, serving in a community and as a community is the call of our faith. It is a core value of those of us who follow Jesus. So how will you serve? How will we serve together? To what ministries are we, First Christian Church, called? How do the gifts and graces and resources of those who are connected to First Christian, how do those all come together and complement one another to call us to sustain ministries we've been doing for years or to embrace new ones? See, these are the questions at the heart of this passage. These are the questions at the heart of our life together. Because as stewards of God's good gifts, we are all, and we are together, called to serve. Before we sing our hymn of discipleship, I'm going to invite you to listen to this witness from Bob and Diane DeWitt as they talk about why they chose First Christian as their home.
Hi, I'm Diane DeWitt.
And I'm Bob DeWitt.
And we have been members of First Christian Church for about 2 months. And we started coming about 6 months ago. And the minute we walked in the door, we enjoyed the welcoming committee that was at the door, and we realized that we knew quite a few people that were in the church. And the more we've been there, the more we've gotten to know more people, and the staff has been so welcoming with their emails, notes, and calls, and we appreciate all of that. Plus, the church is very inclusive, and we've enjoyed getting to know so many of the people, and then the inclusiveness of all the people that are surrounding us. We have enjoyed the activities that are going on at the church. You can get involved in about anything you want to. The youth have done a great job when they did the service at the church. The choir, the music program is we've enjoyed very much, and we're glad to be a part of First Christian Church.
And I echo Diane's comments. As we started out to look for another church, as she said, inclusiveness was one of the keys, but not only in terms of the congregation, but also the policies of the church. We were looking for a church that had local governance, not dictated by a denomination from above, and First Christians fit that so well, but you still have the support of the denomination, which is really just perfect. And as we've talked with people, we've come to realize how comfortable the church is. We've actually talked to 100% of the pastors that have been there for the last 50 years. Now, full disclosure, that's just three, but that tells you something too about continuity for the church as well. And all have been so welcoming and so enthusiastic about the programs and the direction that the church is going. Diane mentioned the youth, the music, the community activities, the community involvement is another piece that we like. It's just been a great fit for us. We're really looking forward to participating and supporting the church and meeting more of the people as well.